So, I've never done it from a room, so I hope it works, but we'll see. It should work. Okay. Know when you are ready. Okay, you can start.
Let's start, Albert.
Okay, so let me just a few words of introduction. I don't have any slides, but just to introduce the timetable detailed view. Okay, so this is, as you know, this is the meeting about the third use cases that we are essentially kicking off today. Until now, this has been discussed during the initial project preparation discussions, but we never had any specific technical meetings or discussion about exactly what federated learning means, how it can be used, or how it can be applied, and so on. So the idea is to use this meeting to start this conversation, and then, of course, I would like to bring this use case at the same level of maturity in terms of project management and information as the other two use cases. So I've already discussed with Katia, and Katia, she has kindly agreed that next week we can virtually sit down together and understand how to align this use case with the rest of the process templates and so on. But for the moment, this is really just about connecting all the different people and start sharing. Sharing information is really about knowledge sharing more than actually start discussing about the concrete objectives, because also federated learning is a rather new topic for most of us. And we all need to understand exactly what it means. So there have been a lot of discussions, a lot of interest in previous discussion from many actors in general about the possibility of having some way of processing, analyzing sensitive data without the need of moving data in and out of their source places. But at the moment, this is a relatively vague concept for a lot of us, I believe. So this is why. So we let everybody, all the, let me call new people to introduce themselves. Luigi, in particular, Luigi is the main designer, developer, original, and today is the principal investigator, project manager, and every main stakeholders representative, whatever title. Luigi, you will use whatever title you fit better for you, but he's a federated learning man in this context. So the plan for today is to ask him to explain to everybody else what federated learning is about and how this can be applied. So for CERN, this means, so this third use case is within the project, is under CERN responsibility. In terms of people, the team is not complete, but the planning in terms of recruitment is defined. So there will be at least two senior persons. One is Luigi for the federated learning platform itself, and then a person from the IT department. working more on the project management aspects and on the later on the operational aspects of what it means to deploy and to secure, to integrate anything we want to do. And then there will be two full-time younger persons dedicated to this, with the same division of responsibilities. So one person more working with infrastructure people and one person working more on the federated learning platform, but in the sense of understanding and adapting algorithms and supporting the use cases from the project. So as for the other recruitment, we will start next week defining the profiles, opening vacancies, and et cetera. It will take 2-3 months to have everybody on board. So we will need to adapt the plan. But again, as you know, it was by design to start this later than the other use cases. So we are not necessarily late, although we don't have to introduce additional delays. So for me, this is it as an introduction. So the person from the IT department responsible for the infrastructure is not here today, could not join. But of course, we have Luigi connected. And the rest of the morning is for him to explain or ask questions and interact with you to exchange information in both directions, because you need to understand what federated learning means, is. But conversely, I understand from Luigi that he needs to understand from you what data types we are talking about, what models we might be talking about, how it works, or what exists at the moment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, before we can actually formulate a realistic plan. Make sense? Any question? Okay. Luigi, up to you. If you want to introduce yourself or ask everybody else questions, and then you can manage the session as you prefer. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Thank you, Alberto. I hope you hear me well. Sorry not to being able to be there, but unfortunately I'm homesick. So I will try to go through the slides. As Alberto said, this is the first time for me to discuss about the topic. So I'm not sure that I know well your degree of knowledge of federated learning. So feel free to stop me and say that I'm going too low in details or too high in details. I can adapt. I think it's mainly, as Alberto said, is a question of understanding each other, try to make you understand and discover what federated learning is and what do we have at CERN, and for me to understand what it is your topic and your problem to be solved. So just as a brief introduction, I'm at CERN since 94. I'm a principal investigator for machine learning application, in particular for federated learning, but all my life I worked in the mainly in the technology department, in the technology related to the accelerator. And this is where the federated learning came. Alberto, can you stop sharing so that I can
Yes,
share
sir.
my
Yes, sir.
screen? Yep.
Of course. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. So hope you can see my screen. Yeah. Okay. So again, feel free to interrupt during the presentation. I think it's more a discussion than a real presentation. So just one slide as an introduction, why we use federated learning and so on. So as you well know, and I think you have visited also CERN, we have a very complex system of accelerator, 27 kilometers underground, huge amount of data, a lot of information coming from a lot of different component equipments and sensors. And we want to use the machine learning to optimize the operation, reliability, the sustainability of the system. Before, we were using a lot of centralized data acquisition. We still do it, but we saw that especially for some of the equipment and component, it becomes interesting to see how we can keep data on the edge devices, even on the IoT devices, and make training of algorithm decentralized. If we can train algorithm directly on the device that is producing them, this become a very interesting new paradigm because it's more elegant, cost efficient. You don't need to transfer large amount of data. It optimizes the computing because with less data you have a less complex computing, so you can optimize also the computing. Of course, you minimize communication storage because instead of transferring terabyte of data, you only transfer a few kilobyte, just the model's parameters. And of course, this is not important at CERN, but is important in other applications like yours, or especially in the medical field. It guarantees privacy, data protection, and model robustness because you can tap in new source of data that today are not available. And this is becoming particularly important for generative AI, where we see that in the coming 1 or 2 years, the large language model will probably finish to have data publicly available to train, and a new way of training this model to continue the evolution is required, and theoretic learning is one of the possible solution. So what is federated learning? And again, feel free to stop me if anything is not clear. So federated learning is keep data on the edge devices or in the decentralized computer and distribute only the model parameters. I will try to find a pointer. Yeah, I think it should be okay here. So I see it here. This is a typical architecture of federated learning. You see the data set, local data set, are represented here. These are local data sets represented, for example, patient or clinical information or secure confidential information. Locally, as you would do on your computer or your server, you do a training as is normally done of any type of algorithm. And of course, you will have a model with certain parameters. And then you use an infrastructure that is called the actual platform that exchange via interface module for communication these parameters of the models. And through a parameter server, where there is the actual framework for federated learning, where the algorithm are, it aggregates with various type of aggregation models. These are other algorithms, the different parameters of the models to create a global model that can be transferred back for further training. The process is continuous, as you can see it over here. A control center here initiates the process through a broker that is responsible for communication. The parameter server sends the first model with the first initialized parameter into the different nodes. There is a local training of the model on the local data, and the model's parameters are sent back to the parameter server, again via the broker for communication. And with various iteration, a final model is trained and it is distributed to the participants. So the federated learning platform that we have at CERN is composed of this modular interface that is the control center that initiate and monitor and control the federated learning process, together with a broker that is responsible for all the secure and safe communication, the parameter server that makes the aggregation of the model, and the overall infrastructure that goes all the way to the different nodes.
Sorry,
So what is
Luigi,
yes?
a few questions on the chat.
Ah, yeah, sorry, I was not looking at the chat. Yeah, please go ahead.
I'm happy to bring them on. I just
Sure.
wanted, thanks for this introduction, Luigi. Is there any physical distance restriction, meaning can one data source be in Australia, the other one in Alaska, and the model still works? Or is there like a proximity benefit, at least in terms of speed for this process to work? Thank you.
No, there is actually no big issues on latencies as long as everything is connected. I wish also afterwards, even the different computing center with different computing power, different type of data can be well aggregated. So yeah, as long as you are, let's say, as long as you are connected with the internet and you can train locally a model, everything can be hooked up and connected. Sorry, I'm on wide screen. If there are questions, Alberto, please stop me or just interrupt me, though.
Yeah, there are a couple of hands raised. Yeah, so Usman.
Yeah, two hands raised, yes.
Yeah,
go ahead. And,
yeah, thanks for the introduction. My question is that does this approach require any specific kind of machine learning or deep learning model, or we can use any machine learning model with federated learning?
I will go more in detail afterwards, but you can use any model. Of course, depending on the model, you have to use different type of aggregation algorithm. And depending on the models, the security of the information might be more difficult to protect. In terms that if, for example, you use tree-based structure models or random forests, for example, or view that you have to transmit a configuration that is based on a tree representation, this could be discovered during the, so you need to use an additional type of security. But any type of model can be used all the way to regressive, simple regression.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Luigi. This is super interesting. Also, one quick question for me. So you're saying that initially the model has to be trained on some data in order to create that first kind of parameter server. How well has to be that first training? Does it already have to have like significant performance and then you just improve it from already a great level? Or can it be very like basic and then only once you start training it on the other data set, it can improve after that? If you could tell a little bit more about that initial training requirements.
Yeah, this is a very good question, Katia, because I might not have expressed myself correctly there. The initial model is just an initiation. It's like a blank page, practically. So the answer is that you don't need any specific training or a specific model. Of course, the more complicated are the data set, the model, and so on, the more time it might be needed to reach a performance that you might want.
Thanks.
I think there are no more questions. Then, so I'll just introduce the Caffeine framework and platform. So it is important here to talk about framework and platform because the platform is everything which allow us to do this federated learning. And the platform comprises not only software, but also hardware, connection. It is everything that connects the control center, the parameter server, the broker, that are hardware here at CERN, via internet to the IT infrastructure of the participating node. So this is the whole platform. And the framework is actually the software that runs it. And is the software that is mainly made of aggregation algorithms. It's where we actually aggregate the model parameter to create a new model. So CERN has both a framework and a platform to operate it. Today, we are operating the platform with the CERN on framework with several hundred nodes. Most of the nodes that you can see here are nodes within the CERN infrastructure itself. So this is mainly to train locally around the 27 kilometer of accelerator. You see one of the CERN compressor station where we actually do anomaly detection of for vibration. So we train locally the models. We have 5 points with several compressors, several sensors that are collecting vibration model. And we train algorithm locally, and then we create a global model for all the compressor at CERN. We also have about 9 nodes that are going to increase to more than 20 with the collaboration with the International Agency for Cancer Research for breast cancer screening, where we are using the so-called EPIC dataset. This is a nutritional dataset. And we aggregate models. This is mainly autoencoders to try to get a prediction of the risk of developing cancer, breast cancer, depending on nutritional and lifestyle information. Especially for the North Country, this data set was before was available publicly. Today, they don't want to have it anymore publicly available. So we require to do this via Fidelity Learning. And then we have now three nodes that are going to four, and soon they will increase to about 20 for brain-related pathologies. So these are a project that today runs on the Policlinico Gemelli in Italy, the Q11 in Belgium, and the Valdebron Hospital in Barcelona. And they will extend to most of the stroke unit in Europe. And this is to make a prediction based on graph neural network. You see example on the left of brain stroke pathologies and the therapy related information. So this, again, train locally graph neural network on the nodes, and they aggregate it so that the different data from the different hospital can give further information and create a model that is more comprehensive. I mean, the basic idea is that today data on a single node contain a limited information or limited number of patients. By using Fidelity Learning, we can increase the data set, but we can also increase the robustness by having the possibility to looking at a different type of information not present in the same data set. Don't know if there are no questions, I proceed. Yep.
I have a question. Has it been installed, or how difficult would it be to install it on an HPC platform? Like, have you ever tried to go at HPC level? Because these, I guess, are local clusters of different hospitals. Or have you ever jumped to the HPC HPC communication trainings, or that is skyrocketing?
So the quick answer to this is that it has not been done because we didn't have a need. But I don't think it is a problem. I don't see why, from both the term point of view of communication, this could be a problem. Of course, you need to make sure that the communication, the infrastructure is compatible with what we have.
And what are the requirements? So internet connection, and then?
Internet connection, and then you have to be able to run, of course, in this HPC, you will be able to run your training of algorithm locally and install a Docker that contains the local jump host. We will see it afterwards to be able to connect and retrieve the algorithm, the model parameters for the global training.
Okay, thanks.
But you're thinking of the HPC Federation in this case?
I'm thinking that in Weather Generator and in Rhino, there is some federated learning in the project that they want to try, and this might be very interesting for the weather. Because, I mean, we've been trained with different sources, so satellite, it doesn't matter
for no,
this project. So
you might have another use case in your hands of a different type.
But this is interesting. Thanks.
One question, Luigi. What is required to set up a new node? What is the effort level for those that want to add or be added to the network? Just to say, it's like, here is the link and off you go, or is there like a little bit of let's say effort required?
Yeah, I think it will become clearer afterwards, but as an anticipation, what I can say is that once you have made the first initial setup, the addition of new node is pretty straightforward. Most of the time that we take is to explain to the DPOs and the IT people how the platform works to make sure that they understand that there is no private information or risk on the platform. Once this is done and we have started with the first node, then we have really a Docker. There's you install this and it is automatically running. It automatically updates if there is a new configuration. And then you just hook it up to the system and it runs. You open a port to connect the node to the CERN infrastructure, and then it goes and it runs.
Sorry, one more question of interest. Is it at all possible to give a certain node more weight? to the model, so more instruments?
Yeah, I think you are seeing the next slides, probably. Yes, sure. And one of the problems that we have is if you have imbalance in terms of data or labeling. And so some nodes are lagging, let's say, lagging behind because they have less labeled data or they are less performant. So you can make a kind of, and this is the whole aggregation, what the parameter server does and so on, all the aggregation process. You can overestimate or underestimate some node to make the process converge faster, or even to take care of possible pollution of the global model depending on one node that is not performing as well. As an example, for example, we were testing this during the COVID phase, and one of the person who was working was a student, and he was at home. And of course, at home, he didn't have a GPU and so on. He was running with his own CPU. And then he was able, even with a CPU connected to CERN GPU, he was able to run. And by making this process of balancing the aggregation for his node that was much less performant, to still converge to very high performance, means very accurate model, nevertheless.
Nice. That's very interesting. Thank you.
So the platform as it stands today is it went through an initial research and development program. Now it is almost 5 years to a proof of concept, both at CERN but also with the hospitals, so in a real environment. And now we have a minimal viable product of the platform and the framework that is operational. So, of course, we have all the documentation. We can scale. That was a previous question. We can use now multiple models, increase the number of clients. We can do auto-scaling, load balancing. I think it's Katia, what you were asking. We can actually balance loads depending on the different nodes that are participating. And this is done in an automatic way, so we don't need to check and parameterize depending on the node participation. We have a very reliable now platform. It is tolerant to fault. We have backup and recovery of all the models and all the process. We do continuous testing and pen testing. Of course, the most important part, because now we are connected to the external nodes, in particular to clinical information. We have security, both from the network point of view and from the model security point of view. And of course, we are increasing the performances by reducing the training times. We do model metrics. We put the explainability also on the aggregation, and we have done benchmarking. What are the available aggregation algorithms that we have today? And this is a continuous evolving field of research, because of course with new data and new models, there are different type of aggregation algorithms that can be investigated. And the aggregation algorithm again is what is in the parameter server that allow to aggregate from a different type, different models and different parameters of the models, the global models. So we have algorithms that perform the key step of the aggregation on the parameter server, so on the CERN side. This is mainly federated averaging, federated adaptive weighting, FedNova, which address also the imbalance in computational capabilities, what we were talking before. Fed DKEW, which require a knowledge of the kind distribution, but this we try not to use it, only use it internally because it can have some potential risk on cybersecurity. We have also algorithms that can do the key steps during the update phases, so only during the update at the client. This is FedProx and CFAs, this consensus-driven federating averaging. And then we have hybrid algorithms that can do both the aggregation during the update phase and on the parameter server. And these are mainly scaffold and federating dynamic regularizers. All these can have advantages and disadvantages on the model, and depends a lot on the actual data set and the algorithm use for the training. I think we already touched on this. There can be data heterogeneity, so we use adaptive weighting. So if there is an heterogeneous federated linear environment, so data differ in terms of the distribution, the size, the quality, or other factor, which is a typical thing that we can encounter everywhere, then we can try to make adaptive weighting. So we can privilege or underprivilege a certain client during the aggregation. We can do horizontal and vertical federated learning. So this is very important in particular cases. So what is the difference between horizontal and vertical federated learning? Horizontal federated learning, we have a sample space, if you see it here on the left, where we have a different patient, patient A and patient B, with a feature space that is similar. And then we have another node, again, with a sample space with other patient, but with a feature that are the same. So the sample space differs, but the feature space remains the same. This is the so-called horizontal federated learning. So the hospital or the node share the same feature space, but different sample space, different patient or different individuals or different data set. Vertical federation is different. This means that you could have the same sample space, so the same number of patients in case of a clinical setting, but the information on this patient are distributed in the different nodes. And we can also do federated learning in this case. It means a patient has some information in one hospital and some other information in another hospital. We can still federate it and create a global model by not exchanging the data coming from the different nodes. Very important, the privacy and security. So the we have built and designed the platform for privacy by design. So we use state-of-the-art cybersecurity measure that we deploy. And we have a solid methodology of threat modeling, risk assessment, and risk treatment. So one of the first things that we do once we when we connect a new node is to establish a risk analysis of the whole infrastructure all the way to the node. And we put in place the security measures that that are required. So as a, as an example, we use encryption to protect data transit. We use secure authentication. All the participants have to securely authenticate to CERN and to the Caffeine platform with a multi-factor authentication. We use access control to limit the number of data and the model access. Model versioning to ensure that the model are integral. We do monitoring auditing to detect and respond to any anomalies present on the platform. And we have a secure network architecture based on firewall, VPN, load balancing, and proxy. And also we use machine learning techniques because if even this all this protection might not be sufficient, we have also machine learning based defense based on differential privacy, robust aggregation, and outlier detection on the model itself. So an example that might give you an idea of how a typical installation implementation works is here. So this is the whole platform that goes all the way from a CERN part to the node. This is what is today implemented in the Trust Stroke project, this European project for stroke prevention with hospital in Europe. So we have a security boundary that is this one on the red that goes all the way from the CERN infrastructure where we have the parameter server and the CERN jump host for the communication. Everything is interconnected via firewalls for additional protection. And then it goes out into the demilitarized zone where there is a jump host container and goes into the client infrastructure or the physical machine where the data and the algorithm are trained. Here again, through firewall, we have our Docker, this federated learning client container that is installed. And this sits in an environment completely isolated by everything else. So it doesn't see the data. He doesn't see the model itself. The only thing that he does, it opens a connection to retrieve model parameters. So he doesn't see at all the data and he only retrieves model parameters. So he receives the model parameters and through the whole process and via the different firewall and so on, he gives this back to the CERN parameter server for aggregation and then he receives it back. One additional solution that we have implemented that is on our operation that is certainly of interest for us because we care about sustainability. So we have also implemented a so-called CO2 tracker and optimizer. We already know that data centers and AI is producing a lot of CO2 now. And of course, federated learning could be a solution to optimize the training of algorithm, reducing the CO2 impact in the world. So of course, if you're a data center, you have a very large computing facility with a very large data set, you need the cooling, you need a lot of data transfer and storage. With federated learning, you can have a very small storage of data with very small computing power. You don't need any cooling and you don't need any data transfer. In addition, you can use a so-called CO2 tracker. So we can track, and this is an example here with a visualization of one of the federation that is operating now. We can define for each node what is the CO2 production depending on the actual activity, and we can optimize by adapting the weight of the participants to reduce the CO2 consumption of the global aggregating algorithm. So you see here an example taken from a snapshot. You see that the larger CO2 producer was in Germany, and I think we know why, amount of coal-powered energy production, and in Italy, while France with nuclear power and Spain with the solar has a less impact on CO2 production. So we have done also benchmarking of several solutions available on the market. Of course, federated learning is still on research, but there are several frameworks that are available. I mentioned here a few of them. What we see that there are many open source software that are general purpose and they don't have a hosting infrastructure, so the so-called platform. They are interesting because they are very easy and flexible to use, but they are mainly for academic research. There are significant limitations in terms of algorithm robustness and number of aggregation algorithms, and the security is not existing, but they provide a flexible way of trying and testing federated learning if you want to do it quickly and without having it, without any sensitive data. Some startups have customizable solution, but in the past had limited success because mainly of the lack of robustness and security. So what we have today is that with the federated learning, we can provide technical performances, robustness and security fully integrated in a platform that comprises a framework, but is not only a framework. You see here some of example with the benchmarking. So you see Caffeine and Flare, which is NVIDIA, and Flower. So yeah, there is the part on model security and network security. We tick all the mark for this, while the other two mainly are on differential privacy, which is not hardware-based, but algorithm-based, and NVIDIA Flare with homomorphic encryption. They don't have the authentication authorization and the network security part that we have. All of us have a multiple framework that we can use. We try to limit it to some framework for security reason. Trusted execution, remote file execution. This one, we don't tick this one because we don't want to have remote file execution because this could be actually a security threat. And so it is by choice that we don't do this. And of course, we all have multiple aggregation algorithms. In terms of coding, source code, infrastructure hardware, technical support, this is all ticked. Mainly NVIDIA, Flare, and Flower have only source code that you have to install, run, and operate on your own platform. That if you want to be as safe as the one that we propose, we'll have to replicate what do we have actually in our infrastructure. We don't have open source today, external. We are thinking about this. We only give software to the collaborators of the different projects. So some example. Yep.
Ask the question. When you mean hardware secure, like infrastructure, what do you mean by hardware? That all the nodes have to have specific hardware, or what is that?
So the hardware infrastructure is this one. And all this is guaranteed by CERN, and the way it is done by CERN. Of course, we also investigated the actual client infrastructure, so the node of the client that is connected. And we make a so-called risk analysis of the node, and we propose a solution to increase its security to be as good as this part. Then it is a question of the client to step up his security if he does not have the required security, which would mean that in case of a problem of or a risk on this part, the only thing that will be actually impacted is the local model container and the data container, which are a responsibility and on the client side. All the rest, we have sufficient security features that will allow us to completely isolate and neglect the node that might have a security issue.
The only risk is data pollution, but don't compromise the rest of the infrastructure.
Yes, yeah, this is correct. I mean, in principle, what we do and what we have done in the with the previous project is that we manage to increase the security level in such a way that we are confident that also the client nodes are safe. And this is also in an isolated environment, so the risk there, because we only open one port directed to CERN via SSH tunneling, so this is very safe. Imagine that for some reason somebody locally would actually polluted the data, either by mistake, because you could always have somebody uploading wrong data in the data set, so you will start to train with wrong data, or somebody in purpose wants to pollute the data or to skew the data. This will be detected by our differential privacy and aggregation algorithm. So we have algorithms that check how the aggregation is made, and it can detect if one of the nodes is actually providing models that are getting out of the normal distribution. And then as a security measure, we pause it.
Okay, nice.
So just
a few examples. On the chat. Sorry, Georgia, yeah. The question...
On the cloud side, is it cloud agnostic or does everyone need to be on the same cloud?
Agnostic.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. I can have GCP, somebody else, AWS, whatever. The system will go inside anyway. Okay.
Yeah. So some example of the validation. I mean, I'm talking a lot of what it does and so on. Some example. So this was one of the initial proof of concept, and this outside CERN. So this was done with a data set in Politecnico Milano in Italy. This was one of the nodes, physical node. It was in Italy. The Medical University of Athens in Athens, data set with the MRI images in Athens, and the Faculty of Medicine in Brno in the Czech Republic. So these were three nodes with three different data sets with different patients and normal patient data coming from MRI. Even the MRI machine that were used were different. Athens had an MRI machine, a 3 Tesla MRI machine, and Brno had a 1.5 Tesla MRI machine. Of course, different patient because there are different patients. And what we did is a comparison of what happened if you can centralize all data. So we managed to centralize all data because all this data were anonymized, otherwise we would not have done it. So this is the result if you can transfer all the data, all MRI images in one data set. This is what happened in a single node if only one participant is operating, and you will see that you will get a much less accurate prediction. And this if you will use Fidelity Learning, the Caffeine platform. So you will see this is the ground truth. This is what the radiologist has labeled as ground truth. And this is the prediction with different rounds. So you see where during the different round, the algorithm are improving their prediction. And with the end, you will see that the prediction made by the single node is much less accurate because it contains much less information, only the data contained in one node. But as expected, the best prediction is centralized, where you put all the data in one bucket. But you see that also the prediction of the federated learning is very near to the prediction of centralized. And you reach almost the same accuracy. If you want to see it here, you see it here, this the black curve here in terms of accuracy, the DSC accuracy of the prediction, almost reaching 90% if you put all the data in one bucket. And you see here the best algorithm of aggregation and can reach within 1 to 2% the same accuracy after a certain period of time. So this was one of the first proof of concept. Second one was based also on other external data set. Again, we are in brain pathologies, study of MRI images. So here, what you can see is that we make prediction in green with respect to the red, that are the manual labels, and the blue is the overlap. And we compare a single client average dice. The dice is the similarity coefficient, it's how much the images overlap, the ground truth with respect to the prediction. It's very low for a single client, as expected, below 80%. For the BRATS data set, these are public data set, not in a federated learning environment, so centralized, you reach 80%. And we saw that we could go even beyond that with a federated learning client, going above 84%. And then the third example that is running now, this was from last year results, use of graph neural network to predict a stroke outcome and the severity of stroke. So this was about 100 patients from 4 different hospitals in Italy. You see also that there is a very different distribution of patients. Some hospitals have very little amount of patients. So this is a multi-layer. We use a different layer of the graph neural network. And the results in federated learning, so without exchanging any patient data, were below the clinician estimated error. We see on the right-hand side the proposed explainability of the results, where you see a brain image of the Brodmann area. Each blob is a Brodmann area, part of the cognitive function of the brains. And you see that for a left stroke, the activated area, Brodmann area, that allow to make the prediction are the one on the left side of the hemisphere where the stroke happened, and here is for a right stroke where the right stroke happened. Sorry. So example of platform that are operating today, one is this Trust Stroke project. It's an European finance project where we have almost 10,000 enrolled patients, and the data are being trained on CERN federated learning platform. So here we have a collection of data with the wearable devices in the different hospitals, centralized the data in the hospital. So each hospital patient has all his data in the three hospitals here, Valdebron in Spain, Q11 in Belgium, and Gemelli in Italy. Locally, this algorithm are trained, and then using the Caffeine Federated Learning platform, we create a global model that is checked by the physician and then send back to the hospital for use. I think I have a better slide afterwards. You see the configuration of the federated platform. There is all secure connection all the way to the hospital with a local machine learning model training, the connection communication via the broker through the to the parameter server CERN for the aggregation. And I think here you have a better view of the system implemented. You have an isolated network at the client infrastructure with the harmonized or pseudo-anonymized data set, the TrustFork client container that is installed in this isolated environment, the only connector to check to receive the parameters of the model, the TrustFork job host container with a firewall that then connects to the CERN via CERN account and via MQTTS communication protocol to the CERN job host. And then all the infrastructure at CERN with the load balancer, the MQTT broker, the TrustFork parameter server for the aggregation, and the experiments storage, where we store the models. And of course, we have all the, on CERN Cloud Services, we have all the monitoring to check how the system is operating, the results, the accuracy, and we take snapshots. The other project that we have started at the end of last year is Exceeding Stroke, is the umbrella project, European Finance. This is with several hospitals. We are responsible for the digital platform federated learning together with the Siemens. And I think for this one, maybe the best is to show this one, is that here we have a different configuration because this is a platform that we integrate within a existing digital platform. The other one was a platform that was completely done by CERN. This one we integrate into the Siemens digital platform. Siemens has already local software running to allow the hospital to prepare the data or harmonize the data and then do the local training. We provide the back end of this to do the federated learning. So the way that is done is that the Siemens is his own cloud platform with an AI workflow, a result visualizer, and the accounts where the different hospitals can connect. The user have a Siemens account for the local, and then a Siemens account, but also a CERN account and Caffeine account to connect to the federated learning. Each clinical site has a Siemens Digital Edge that look at the local database, provide an harmonized database, and from the harmonized database, provide the parameters for the Caffeine federated learning node to operate, and this connects to the CERN account. So locally, Siemens treated the data, train the model, and then CERN Federated Learning provided the global model, and Siemens does not have any view on this part of the process. It only see the results. So this to show that we can both do a complete platform, or we can hook up to existing digital platform providing the backend for the federation. And I think I'm practically finished. So the main concept here is that we can both support you for the development of concept, design the architecture, adapt the algorithm, or by simply providing you the federated learning platform for you to train and use at your own facility. And you can have more information and references here. And then maybe Alberto, we can stop here and ask more questions. Otherwise, I started to put together some questions that I might have, but we might want to do it in the next session.
Okay. So thanks a lot, Luigi. That was very, very impressive. Thank you. And I see from the questions that George is asking that he's ready to buy. So now we have to negotiate.
I need to know the price. Yeah, no, my question was exactly that, Luigi. First of all, thank you. Indeed, that was very clear. And compliments on the on the experience and the example so far. They're truly impressive, and I think this can be a new paradigm for how these things are developed. If we were to replicate that at WFP, right, that we would do the core platform that you have within CERN, how much are we talking about time and money? Because I guess you do need an investment to start with, so that you can then do it for whatever use case in the future, right?
But before Luigi addresses the question, one thing that for me, answering this question is exactly one of the deliverables of this collaboration. So the idea is by, you know, to work together to understand your needs and needs of other organizations, etc., and then provide during the course of the project a sort of blueprint representing exactly the answer to that, how much it would cost, not only in budget terms, but infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, I'm sure Luigi can give you an estimate, but for me, that is one of the main contributions that we can provide to you as part of this collaboration. So, Luigi, sorry.
Yeah. I think the question is legitimate because we are discussing with different project within different project how best is to actually implement this platform. The most important things to see here is that I try to get my spotlight again, is that all this part here, this is a CERN development and CERN on the platform. So what we need to be replicated is all this part. And all this part is actually the part of the CERN infrastructure is already operating and it works. So we can give an estimate. We can actually provide the consulting on how to do it. But first of all, you have to ask yourself if this is a core part of the business that you want to do. And the second thing is that are you interested in operating a platform or getting results from a platform? With some of the participants to the project, the hospital, for example, and you, if you remember that I showed the Siemens case, the hospital do not want the Siemens operate the platform because they believe that Siemens is still an industrial entity. And even if they understand well that the process is safe and so on, they would prefer that it's a third party, a purely research organization that operate something that even if theoretically, as you see it here, and practically, as you see it here, does not transfer any data, this is under the responsibility of CERN. With WHO, where we have another project ongoing for the so-called market intelligence platform, we are actually doing what Alberto is proposing. First, we do a proof of concept, and then we write a blueprint on how this platform could be either operated on behalf of WHO at CERN or installed and operated by WHO. WHO, and this is for healthcare supply chain resilience.
No, Luigi, I think the last part especially, or both points are relevant. We would also prefer to a certain degree that we either do it or let's say an independent third party like CERN would do it, but then we would need to understand what does it mean in terms of the service provision and so on. But I think your point on WHO would be equally relevant here, which is to compare those scenarios, to put a total cost of ownership price tag behind them. And also we would need also on our side to identify either the efficiency savings or even the cost savings of this model versus the original investment, so that we would have a clear business case. And that actually, Alberto, it might be something that we need for all the use cases, is some sort of a TCO, total cost of ownership calculation for the use case, because I guess we will bring them to a certain maturity level within the time frame that we have. And then, of course, we might need, and hopefully that will be part of the discussion with Luxembourg, to extend that into the full, you know, production cycle and all of that. And then we might, you know, need to mobilize additional resources. Can Luxembourg do that? Or do we need to bring other parties into the fold? But we will need to talk about the investment case, right? And I think this one in particular is the one that is likely to require more upfront investment versus some of the other ones, which are more specific around the model and so on. This one, there is a certain infrastructure that comes on top, and then of course it can be deployed to multiple use cases over time. One in particular, I think, Luigi, like you mentioned for WHO, we should have that first proof of concept inform some sort of the evaluation of the options, scenarios, blueprints, to say, okay, either we source it from a third party like CERN as a service, and there's a cost associated with running that platform, or we would see the benefit of having maybe not just a WFP, even a UN quote-unquote type of platform for the coordination of the use cases where we would collaborate with others in our humanitarian response assistance. And again, I still think that a lot of the information around the beneficiaries, their identity details, their needs in terms of response, because we do food, others do health, others do shelter. How do we then leverage all of that for these type of use cases? It's something that can grow over time, but the platform would then be enabling all of that. But definitely we will need at some point to put a price tag to it before we can buy, Alberto. But definitely so it looks very promising. And I think we need just to also demonstrate what kind of benefits we'll have, both programmatic, but also financial, of course.
No, of course. I mean, all that, you know, what you say makes a lot of sense, of course. I mean, if you want, this is a bit of the discussion we had until now. Now, this initial 2 years of the collaboration among the three partners in Luxembourg is really to understand all these boundaries, what it means, you know, through realistic proof of concept, etc. And then, I mean, as I mentioned, I see as one of the main outcomes of this collaboration, package and a business analysis of all the different potential scenarios with pros and cons of cost, of complexity, etc., which applies also to us, you know, because of course, you know, the platform at the moment is at CERN, and Luigi teams is managing this. We ourselves need to understand what it means for CERN in the future to provide a service technically, from also from a CERN mandate, legal point of view, etc., etc. So there are many questions that we need to answer, and this is a fantastic opportunity to do that. But you know, just a word of caution, I fully understand what you're saying and I'm fully on board with that. But we also need to be practical and realistic in the sense that, as Luigi mentioned several times, we need to understand the use cases and what you might want to do with this platform to understand the associated efforts and cost and applicability of this. So we really need to start with these investigations of what you want to do with it and try it in some way before we have enough information to answer the questions.
Yeah, but Jorge, I understand your question. I don't want to show that I'm not answering this. So in terms of investment, this platform started several years ago with in my free time and with the help of PhD students. So it was $100K investment to go to the proof of concept, the first one that I show you that you see the MRI results. So this was the initial investment. Now he's a platform that is operating with a very secure network, very secure infrastructure, very secure algorithm, aggregation algorithm, and he's a multi-million one, all based on external funding. These activities that I've shown here are used at CERN, but they are all based on external funding, and these are based on European funding and direct collaboration, and is of the order of multi-million. So this is in terms of what was the investment to do this. Of course, if we want to give this to somebody, there should be a license fee that has to be agreed, but this depends, of course, by the discussion. In terms of investment, that I think is probably the thing that is most interesting for you, because apart maybe the license fee, so is how much hardware or personnel or resources I have to put there. We need first to understand what do we have. If you have a facility already, an IT infrastructure that operates in a very secure way and it contains most of the requirements in terms of hardware, software, and the resources that you have, this might be zero. As it might be, if you want to start from a greenfield, then you talk about multi-million. That's just to give a rule of thumb.
I'm thinking we are more towards the multi-million. We of course have a starting point, but we need to see how integratable it is with some of our very bespoke platforms where we have identity data on the beneficiaries, but then also the type of programmatic interventions, if we think about cash or food assistance or whatever it may be. So the question would be, to which degree can we connect with that and then use that as the data sources? But there needs to be, I think, the platform. The question is, do we license it? And then it is a different business model, right? It's a service that we would procure from CERN. Or would we replicate that and then have that as a platform, even to offer then ourselves a service to others that would benefit from the type of coordination that this would enable? As an example, we have a blockchain-based use case, which is called Building Blocks, which is really about, maybe Katya, we can put quickly the link here for what is on our website. It is a platform that we use to coordinate cash assistance in places like Ukraine, for example. And that has already allowed us to avoid a lot of duplicates, meaning that we pay twice to Luigi, not at all to Alberto, between WFP and UNHCR and all the other agencies that are active on the ground. And for me, this would be an evolution of that, in the sense of that is basically a coordination tool. We use blockchain just to make sure that we have immutable data, for that front end, but you could almost say, look, people could use Excel lists for that matter, depending on how much data they have. But could this be a different way instead of us sharing some of that data? I understand we share little data already, but could we then really use this type of approach to go and really do that coordination effort that we then decide who supports who for which benefit, for which need, depending if it is food, shelter, health, you know, whatever it may be, right? And that's the type of use cases that I see first and foremost is for this coordination between agencies so that we can really be efficient across agencies, not just within, you know, WFP or the other ones. And that's why I would like to, then I need to involve other people to see how could this work in articulation with some of these models, or would this replace, because it would be better, going back to what we discussed also yesterday with Enrica, what's the delta in terms of positive benefits versus the current practices? And that would have to be the one on the basis of the business case to justify investments for whatever business model that we would consider for this type of applications for WFP. But I think the example around what Building Blocks does is a good indication of the type of opportunity that we could see within WFP, because that coordination is an important element, A, to ensure that we are operationally efficient on the ground, but also that we are cost effective in terms of how we support, you know, the people that need it without avoiding, let's say, unintended assistance, duplicates, and so forth. Over.
Yeah, I think it's correct what you say. Then the to make it short, if you ever to be maybe the only one to use it for a specific use case, it might not be worth the investment, but it can be done for a larger set of use cases, or for a larger amount of organization, this could be actually interesting. And also from CERN side, we still don't know how we can support this effort if we want to have an infrastructure at CERN, or if you just give the license and provide support to have it installed elsewhere. So this is also a discussion for us to understand.
Yeah, I think an important conversation could also be here with the likes of UNICC. I don't know if you have a lot of interaction with them. They're also based in Geneva, but they also have locations elsewhere. But they're kind of the IT team of the UN as a dedicated agency. So they could also be the likes that could host this, maybe on the benefit for all UN, rather than having one agency hosting it, supporting everybody else. Could we have already one that is, you know, more a service provider to everyone? But I know that sometimes they're also criticized for being expensive. So I don't want necessarily to say that that's the better answer, but it's to say if there could, I could foresee a need for a pan-UN type of federated learning platform. And then either we could host it and offer that service to others, as we do in many of the clusters where we take a leading role, like the logistics cluster, the telecommunications cluster, and so forth. This could also be one where we play a little bit that leading role, connecting it with AI in the broader sense. Or it could be hosted by an agency that already provides kind of broad IT services to many of us. They do a lot of the hosting of the data for WFP as well. They could also be from that regards, you know, somebody to consider in this journey. But I would leave that for later on. I think first we need to go down the path of the use cases and the pilot.
Yeah, exactly. We need to start discussing.
And that could be part of the journey later on. But I'm just thinking ahead, Alberto.
No, you are correct. I mean, we need the two things are totally related. But we need the sort of also to decouple the technical aspects from the business and relationship aspects, because there are cases where technical aspects might be easier to solve than political and economic considerations.
Yeah, but to add something, we are in contact, in fact, with UN, and we are discussing, and we have now finalized, and now we have sent out just a white paper on the how to implement a federated learning platform for UN, for the specific case of market intelligence for healthcare supply. And in fact, this show the two possibility, hosting at CERN without any guarantee that it will be done in one way or the other, but just analyzing the two possibility. I think Alberto is right. We shouldn't discuss about this now. I think we have maybe some technical work to show to us understand better what you are actually doing, and for you to understand better how they are in real practice the platform works. But what we could do eventually is that we could add into some of the deliverables, but then we have to see in terms of resources, an initial report on how this could be implemented at CERN or elsewhere, just from a pure technical point of view.
Yeah. So Usman, sorry, you had your hand raised for a while.
Yeah, first of all, Luigi, thank you so much for the very informative session. I have a couple of questions a bit more on the technical side. So first one is on the node. So what I understood is that node has the client node. It has two components. One is the local model container and other is the data container. So So, what are the minimum compute requirement on the node side? Because since we are training some part of the model on the client side, it must require some sort of compute hardware. And the second is that once these trained parameters are moved to the parameter server, do you do any sort of distillation or pruning? Because imagine if you have hundreds of nodes and all of those are contributing their parameters to the parameter server, then your model will become like so huge. So do you do any sort of distillation or pruning on the parameter server?
So for the first question is, as long as on the local host, the local server, you can run your own model and you have sufficient communication, storage and computing to do a local training of the model, this is sufficient for us. We don't need anything more. We actually do federated learning on IoT devices, so small portable devices. So you can understand that it's not the federated learning that brings any additional thing. The one that I showed before, the vibration measurement, are done on iPhone-like computing power. So for the second question, the aggregation algorithm, the one that I show you in one of my slides, these are doing the what you call pruning and distillation and so on. So it is all embedded in the aggregation algorithm, the way that the model parameters and so on are taken into account and optimized. One thing that is important, because this there might be a misleading information that is that we need to use the same model or the same algorithm. We cannot use different algorithms. We can only aggregate exactly the same one.
Yeah. So, got it. And just one more last thing. So this whole infrastructure of federated learning currently is hosted on CERN on-premises hardware. But I think there is no limitation. We can also host it on some cloud platforms like GCP or AWS as well, right?
Yes, it's correct. Then it's a question. I mean, it's where it is hosted. We know very well the infrastructure, and we have done a risk analysis of this, and we have checked, improved, and optimized all the security features of it. If you host it somewhere else, we need to redo all this to make sure that the hosting platform, which might be cloud, not has the same security.
Sure. Got it.
Because one of the things to understand is that even if you only transmit parameters models, you can, if you are very smart and you can use machine learning, you can actually reverse engineering. You can actually go and poison the data, and this will just screw up your experiments, or even manage to get out some information of the data themselves. So this is why the security is so important. And a federated learning framework, or just the software, is not sufficient, because it can be used for academic purpose, because you can show that you can aggregate a different model. But if you don't have the security, you cannot actually use it in a real environment.
Right, got it. So in case if they're IoT devices and they are not capable of, you know, generating the parameters, so what happens in that case? Do you transmit the actual data to the server, or no. Like how does that work?
No, if the IoT are not capable to train an algorithm, then we have to locally, this is we did in at the beginning, we collect locally all the data and we train on a GPU based computer.
Right.
But today you can do a lot of things with an IoT device.
Hmm.
The actually one of the next step is for this one of the things that I show is to train a graph neural network on brain signals to do prediction of stroke. This today we are trying to implement it in an iPad, so that the iPad will be the IoT device and it will be in an ambulance. So the people that are getting a patient, they will do an EEG on the patient and will locally train and infer the results of a patient.
Interesting. Thank you.
So, Alberto, I don't know if you want to go to the... There were other presentation? Or...
No, not from not from us. I don't know if WFP has...
No,
so
no, no. I think Luigi... Alberto.
Sorry.
No, yes, you mentioned a couple of questions that Luigi would have for us, so maybe we cover those. I do need to leave in 10 minutes.
So that was the was actually my question. I mean, if you had the presentation, then I can listen to your presentation. Otherwise, I was connected yesterday. It was very interesting what you propose in terms of algorithm and use cases. So I tried to collect some of the information or in the question that I have that my I don't need an answer now, but I think it's just to give an idea of what information are required to start to investigate this. So I think this is clear. So some of the key points that we need to consider for this is first is data harmonization. One of the important things, but this is valid also if you centralize, you cannot have data that are not harmonized. You have to make sure that all the data that you are collecting, even if they are from different node or from different areas, they have to be harmonized. They have to be the same units. They have to have the same information. So otherwise, I think you cannot do any federation. Then the question, do we have horizontal federated learning or vertical federated learning? Do you remember, do we have a same feature space or same data space? This is also important because it can give a different type of aggregation algorithm to be used. And of course, what we have to do now is to understand this, to investigate what are the machine learning, the aggregation models, the data to optimize the performance. The other key component that we need to know is what are the local nodes? Are distributed processing at the World Food Program country offices and financial partners? So what will be the node that actually connect? Who is going to participate into the federation? And what are these heterogeneity of the node? I think it's one of the questions was this, is do we have all nodes that have the similar computing power and storage capability, or are we going to have a different type of capability? I think I anticipated already your question, Jorge. We need to understand and start to prepare if we're going to do a central aggregation at CERN or a World Food Program. And of course, this entails all the different type of infrastructure, and not for the proof of concept, but maybe for the future. What is very important, because again, we are not doing a framework, we are not just doing software, we are doing some platform that integrate fully into a regulatory layer. So what are the regulatory and compliance layer? What are the financial regulations that we have to respect? The GDPR, we know, any humanitarian principle, anything else that has to be integrated into this this platform as a specification. And of course, from our side, but once we know all this, we will take care, is what are the federated learning aggregation algorithm and security tools that needs to be implemented. So this is the list that it would be useful to complete. I started to put some there. Is what are the user requirements? So first of all, what are the stakeholders? We will need to know what are all the different stakeholders, WFP operation, any partner financial institution, there are humanitarian organization, regular body, others. What are the functional requirements? For the moment, I have secure training of AI model across multiple institutions without data exchange. Is this the only one? Do you have any other requirement for that? And what are the non-functional requirements? So security, encrypted transaction data processing, scalability, expand from the cash base to voucher, transfer, insurance framework, number of nodes. Also, the scalability is important for us to understand. And what are the compliance that we have to have, both in terms of GDPR, but also financial integrity standards. And this is a start initial list of what came to my mind, but I think this is what we really need from your side to start to populate. And then the proposal, according to what I understood from Alberto, is the resources available today is that we should start with the phase one. Of course, this is a proposal. I am very happy to discuss this. It's collect all these user requirement and the understanding of your IT infrastructure. This could help also for the phase two. What are the key components and the data algorithm information? And then select a representative use case and perform a federated learning validation and performance test at CERN. Maybe on two representative external nodes, making sure that there are sufficient resources to run this. Of course, phase two can go farther with the deployment of caffeine federated learning for train fraud detection. And then the idea of the proof of concept is to validate the performance of one or more anomaly detection model over CERN caffeine federated learning platform. So we will evaluate and select both in local terms and federated learning the anomaly detection algorithm, the machine learning models, and the aggregation algorithm. We validate what is the federated learning and privacy technology to be used. I put in gray here because I think we don't need to validate this. We already validated, so I don't think there is anything additional necessary. We will only make an investigation of the security of the individual node. And this was just for to start the discussion.
Great. Yeah, thanks. Excellent. Very, very, very clear. So one thing I would like to add is related to the discussion we had yesterday around CBT and the anomaly detection use cases. There is a very important confidentiality bootstrapping to be done, because at the moment, as you said yesterday, you cannot share the data. We need to understand how to do that. Now, for the anomaly detection use case where the initial work is to understand the algorithms, a solution could be for us to access remotely the data on your and work directly with that. Now, in this case, if we want to start with a proof of concept of federated learning, but still within CERN, within the CERN platform without initially going out, the problem, it's a different problem. We need to have some representative data here, stored here. So there is a bit of a mismatch to solve. Yesterday, you already started, you proposed the possibility of having some generated data that is not real data, but looks like the real data, then I don't know how realistic is that, but if that is as the same distribution of the real data, maybe this is something that Luigi can already start working with. I mean, there are all these questions. So what Luigi has presented is already very, you know, well advanced in the sense of establishing an initial plan for at least for this year. So in the coming days and weeks, we can start working with that. At the same time, in parallel, you might want to take all those questions and verify internally what that means for you.
I think that's indeed the next step, Alberto and Luigi, is that we need to present this, because some of these things, especially around the infrastructure, are much more driven by our tech colleagues, our technology colleagues, our IT division, let's call it that, then they are by us, right? We would be users of this platform, not necessarily the custodians of it. So it is a discussion that we need to have with them, but also with our GPO, our data protection officers, because they should love this, right? Because that means that for future use cases, we would not need to share any data. We would have an enabling environment for sharing the outcomes of the models that need that data, right? We need exactly to bring these questions to them, and then Luigi, Alberto plan a follow-up where we probably bring them into the conversation directly so that they can answer some of these questions, and then you can also interact with them more in detail. But today for me has been very, very enlightening, very insightful. Luigi, thank you again for taking the time, especially being a little bit sick today. It has been very useful for us to better understand what we need to discuss internally. And I think, Katja, the work for us is to really mobilize these internal reflections so that we can respond to those questions much more accurately by involving others as well. So from my side, thank you again, Luigi. Thank you, Alberto and team there as well, not only for today, but also the discussions of yesterday. I think we're making real progress now. Now we are really discussing the various use cases. This one, as agreed, is starting later because we designed it as such. But now that we have, let's say, a better understanding of what it entails, we can also start making progress here as well. So from my side,
but it starts later in terms of timing for the project, but it starts from a much higher maturity level.
Exactly. So that's why we also decided. We decided to start it later exactly because of that, because the readiness level is there. It's more about identifying the right use case and the right setup for us at WFP. But I think we also touch on something that is important, which is we need to look at the financial sustainability of these models longer term, right? So that also means, Alberto, more for us, for the June update towards, you know, Luxembourg as a donor, we need to start signaling the type of continuity that we want. Is it maintaining the current level, or do we need to, either crowd in others or increase the ticket so that we can actually bring these use cases to fruition? Because otherwise we'll have nice POCs, but that won't help, quote unquote, WFP in being more efficient, more effective, nor others in the system as well. So I think we need to start having a little bit parallel discussions around the use cases, that total cost of ownership, investment needed, and so on, because for sure we'll need those discussions. We'll have those discussions internally. And we need also to bring that transparency towards Luxembourg and potential other partners, donors that we could crowd in. Like I mentioned, SDC could be an interested party in some of the use cases, maybe not all. So that's a way for us to also, sustainably develop this program beyond the current horizon that we have.
Sure. No, that's fantastic. But I mean, again, to manage the expectation, because as you correctly said, if you present this to your DPO office, they should love it. Yes, but if the answer is, so I love it, give it to me now, that is not realistic. Okay, so we need to find a practical way forward where for the next, I would say many months, the work is really to understand how it works, and we can only do it here. It cannot be transferred just overnight. There is a lot of technical work to be done on both sides to make that happen. And we just had a long conversation about that. So please manage expectations. Make them love it.
You first need to excite them, but then indeed you need to be realistic. It's exactly. A journey, but I also know how long these things take, both with and engagement with donors and so on. We need to create the conditions for this to be successfully adopted. And that also needs to be on the basis of having a business case that is, promising, if that's what the analysis concludes with. So let's just do the work, basically. That's the bottom line. I think today was a very good introduction, more to the technical elements of this use case. Now we can more concretely answer some of these questions and loop others in as we have in the other use cases, so that we also have the right stakeholders on the WFP side.
We have time, but I don't want to keep you if it is not necessary, and give you back some free time. For me, the next steps really are now to start from what Luigi has proposed at the end, the last few slides with the already a Strawman plan there, and work with Katia, Luigi, myself, and the other person we have here to cast this into a standard project form, starting from the things we can understand today and leave the rest a bit for later discussion, but we can start from that. No, then, you know, you see what happens.
No, perfect.
Did that work for you?
Yeah, sure. I just added also a reference to some additional documentation if you want to go more into details, also to show to your DPO and so on. I think this is correct. We should look at the technical aspect first. Nevertheless, it's not negligible the time to discuss with IT and the DPOs. So, and we know this process very well. So if you need support in discussing, we can also support this. But for me, the most important part now is to understand really what is the use case that you want to do, what are the technical aspect of it, data, nodes, and so on, and how we want to do it for a proof of concept. After, if you believe that all what we have shown to you is sufficient for you to have this validated also for use case, for me, it is also fine. There's no problem. Then we can concentrate on something else. But I thought at the beginning from the discussion that we want to test first the platform on your data and your use case. One aspect, Alberto, that maybe we can also mention is that if you have a problem in training an algorithm and not having the possibility of looking at the data, if there are some data that are not available because they are very secure and private, and if you already have an algorithm, we don't need to look at the data. We can already start using the platform with your own algorithm and your own data. And this could be an alternative to get out of the deadlock of what you discussed yesterday of this data that cannot be shared.
Yeah, but this would mean using a client on their side as well, right?
Yes. This would mean that we installed this Docker in one of your client. Of course, it would be better if you want to do federated learning to have two clients, but you can also divide your, we do sometime in the same node, you virtually make two machines, you make two virtual machines, and then you simulate that there are two clients, and then we can do this. So we don't look at the data, we don't look at the algorithm, we only tell you this is the final global model that we find out, and then you can check with your own data how this is aggregated. So this could be an alternative solution.
Sorry, let me just interrupt because I need to leave. I'm already late for my next meeting. But thank you so much, Luigi. Thanks, Alberto, Ilaria, and Carmen, for the discussion yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll discuss for the next week. I leave you with Katia and Usman for the wrap up. Thanks again, Luigi, and get well soon. We'll be
nice
in touch.
To meet you, Jorge.
Bye bye. Nice meeting, George. Bye bye.
Yeah, to answer your question, Luigi, so as of now, we don't have any model. So we are in a very initial phase of development. We have yet to explore the data. We have yet to come up with a standardization approach. So I was wondering, like, do you think it's a better approach that we first come up with a baseline model and then move towards federated learning?
Yes, of course. We have to do this first. Yes.
Yeah, because maybe like it would be like an overkill if we start with federated learning, because we have like very teething issues like data standardization and separation.
Indeed, this is what the use case two is supposed to work on, right? So there is a link between the two use cases in this respect.
Yeah, there are two use cases, yes.
But I think just to comment, this is exactly the kind of conversations that we will be having in the coming months and to align from the use case. Just to reiterate that, I think the points that were on the slide is very clear. We will definitely, from our side, start us answering those questions and then start meeting with you as well and further detailing what the use case will look like.
Okay, I think Katia, you and I can start bootstrap this next week and then involve all the necessary people to do that. Okay, so unless you have other questions, I think this was very, very interesting. Thank you, Luigi. It was very impressive. I never saw the presentation in all its glory of technical details and use cases. It's really impressive. Can you share the slides to attach to the agenda?
Sure. Yep.
Or a version of them, something that you can share with everyone. And same for you, Kati, if the slides mm-hmm. that you used yesterday, we attach everything to the agenda. I already attached the slides you sent for the steering mm-hmm. committee.
Yes, thank you. I will send the others as well. Thank you.
Okay. Excellent. Any other question, comment? So, okay, fantastic. This looks really very interesting.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was really insightful.
Okay. All good then. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your weekend and some. I give you some free time back. You can have longer lunch.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.